It's a big weekend in NASCAR.
Nah.
Jackson and Thomas are here to talk about it. Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
It could be.
Sure. Question mark.
If Suarez finds a ride somewhere, it could be.
It could be. Yeah, you're exactly right.
If they announce that they're going to do the 2021 package ahead of 2020, that'd be a big week.
Could be. Exactly. Yeah, you got this. It could. There are possibilities.
We're breaking down the racing season in the rearview mirror, as well as the racing season, the off season at least going forward, because it is the shortest off season nationally. Around here, we got to wait until about April for the X200 to fire up over at the Speedway, and a bunch of other things happening in Byron and Sycamore. But we're focusing mostly on NASCAR right now, since Homestead is in the rearview mirror. He's Thomas Gomez. I'm Jackson. And a few more questions, a few more topics that I want to bring up. Thomas, it was a year for the second consecutive time where you can argue that the best driver didn't win the championship.
Yeah.
And it also, you can argue, that happened in the truck series as well just the other day. So in fairness to the driver and to the viewer, for what the driver would like and what the viewer would like, there needs to be some sort of marriage there. Is the current playoff format the best way to crown a champion? Is the playoff system as is, where you get down to a championship four, you work your way to get down to a championship four, but there's still 36 other cars in the field. Like, is this the right way in your opinion?
I'm sticking with my gut from last week. I feel like the playoff situation, or how it's laid out right now, the bracket, the grid that they have going, I feel like it works, right? If you're going to win the championship, you better be there all year, and then that kind of works out. But the truck series kind of didn't prove that this weekend or last weekend.
Where it's tough is when a driver that you don't like wins.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's tougher is that when you look at drivers who have been dominant or at least been very good for years, Kevin Harvick only has one championship. That's kind of strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the years that he's been around and all the victories that he's got, he's only got one championship. That's crazy. Kyle Busch only has two now. Two?
Yeah, two.
And there's not a lot of multiple time champion winners. Now, a lot of that is Jimmy Johnson doing his thing in the mid-2000s there, but there hasn't been that one guy. That one single driver. So I guess that's where we're just in the era of multiple guys, and it could be anybody at any point. Maybe parity is the best thing. I like the playoff format until further notice. I like it that they're doing it this way, and this is just a byproduct of some of the weird stuff that happens. Crafton winning. Okay.
Yeah.
Get weird.
Yeah.
Get weird, I guess. Is Bubba Wallace, is he a good guy or a bad guy? Can you explain this to me? Which side is Bubba Wallace on? I want to like him, but some things that he does, I'm just kind of like, don't do that, man. What are you doing?
So with Bubba Wallace, he's the kind of guy that I would want to hang out with, right?
Yeah.
He's fun. He's fun to be around. I mean, him and Blaney, I think, shared a car ride, and they were videoing each other. Look like they're having a blast.
Uh-huh.
Bubba Wallace is just the kind of guy you just want to go to a party with and let loose, right? On the track, though, he's a different person. The middle finger starts flying. He's spinning to cause caution. I mean, good guy off the track, bad guy on the track, maybe.
Okay. That's fair.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. He could be, man, if you got him a good ride too, like maybe he would chill out a little bit. I feel like sometimes the things that he does, he gets bored because he's just trying to get in the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if he were to, be a little bit more consistent within the top 15, he would be, kind of focused a little bit more. Some of these things are just kind of like, what are you doing flipping people off, man? Well, 27th. Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess with the middle finger thing, though, it started as a joke. And
that's what he says. But if I flip you off, you're going to be like, yo, what did I do?
Right. So the middle finger fell on the good side, or good guy side of the story here.
Uh-huh.
And then as it happened more and more, and I'm like, it's really on the bad side now. Like, we're going to shift that over here.
It's too much.
Yeah, a little bit.
He might calm himself down or whatever with that in the next year. I think as he matures a little bit more, what is he, 24, 25?
Something like that.
He's not old. Yeah. He's not 30. You know, like when a driver's 30, then there's no more excuses for that on the track, as a professional like this. Maybe it's just next year for him. I don't know. Who will make the biggest improvement in 2020? Who's a driver that you're looking at that you think could really take off next year?
I think it's going to be Matt DiBenedetto. Stepping into the Wood Brothers number 21, he has a little bit better equipment, a little better of a ride, an iconic team. I feel like he's going to show us all what he's capable of next year. I mean, he did that this year.
Yeah, he did.
Especially when we found out that he was out of a ride, or mm-hmm. he was fighting to stay in it, not knowing what the future held. And then as soon as he found out he wasn't going to be here next year, you know, we really showed it. We saw him show up. So I'm expecting to see great things out of him next year.
I like that one. And I'm trying to think of who I would go for. Originally, the first name that popped in my head was Bowman. But he already got a win and he was doing okay.
I think we're kind of flipped here. I had Bowman for who surprised me the most, and you had DiBenedetto.
So Laney might be another guy.
Okay.
You know who it really could be, but it's not going to be my final answer, is Erik Jones. Because he had some really good moments this year. But there were a lot where he was in the middle of wrecks, and I don't know what's going to happen to him after next year. He's got that 1 year deal that he re-upped for.
He's not going to be the Joe Gibbs. It says Joe Gibbs is going to want Christopher Bell.
He's got to figure something out. Mm-hmm. So it could be Erik Jones starting to put things together in a year where he knows he has to prove it or else he's probably gone. I'm going to go with Kyle Larson.
Okay. Explain.
I think that Chevy's going to make a little bit of a jump going into next year because they need to. And I feel like Kyle Larson got off to such a rough start this year where bad things were just happening that, like, you got this big smile on your face right now. It's awesome.
He wrecked every single week.
He wrecked
earlier.
And he had some bad luck, and a lot of it was like unforced errors and stuff. And so he was getting a little discouraged. He thought that maybe the season was going to be a waste, but then he fought himself all the way back up, right? Mm-hmm. This is while he's doing World of Outlaws. This is while he's doing dirt track racing at home still. Well, here's what's going to be happening with Kyle Larson at the end of the next year. We're just going to put the cards out on the table, man. Kyle Larson is going to be done. He's going to be done with Chip Ganassi Racing. He's got one more year, and they've got to prove it to him that they want him around. And so I think that a lot of what they're going to do with Kurt Busch, they're going to make sure that Kyle Larson might get a little bit more of whatever funding is needed to try to really make sure that there's some success and Kyle Larson can stick around. Because right now, driver's better than the car. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So this is a huge year for one of the brightest young stars in NASCAR. I feel like Kyle Larson might win maybe 3 or 4 races next year because he has to. Because right. The team has to have him do that. So that leads me to my next question then, Thomas. Who replaces Jimmy Johnson in 2021?
Well, I'm going to go with the popular answer on social media, and that is Kyle Larson. I feel like Mr. H is going to do everything he can to get Kyle Larson to jump over to his team. However, Larson has such dedication and loyalty to Chip Ganassi Racing, and Chip lets him do all these dirt track races, right? Uh-huh. And Mr. H is not really a huge fan of that. So that's going to be the deciding factor, I think, because Larson's not going to give up running dirt. So that's going to be what it comes down to.
Love that you're calling him Mr. H. It sounds like you're going to be going on the job interview with him.
Well,
one of my favorite things, man. Do you think that maybe, like, if you had to put a percentage on it, Stuart Haas?
Stuart's going to do everything he can to get Larson.
And I think that he'll let him run, too, because that's how Stuart was.
Yep.
He'll let him run the dirt tracks and the local tracks around mm-hmm. wherever they're at for Cup. I don't know if Hendrick's ever going to let him do that. That's the only thing.
I think the last time Hendrick did it was with Casey Kane. And after Casey Kane did this flip or something years ago, and he almost didn't return to Cup, that's when Mr. H was like, nope, we're not doing that.
So
we're cutting that.
I'm going to tell you that you're going to have to cut that out. I don't see anybody doing that to Larson. He'd be miserable. He really would.
Yeah, Stewart would support him, but who does he drop for that? He wouldn't put him in Haas's car. Stewart,
why not? I mean, Haas is, you know, it's a turntable or turnstile over there anyway.
Right.
So it's like, well, let's just keep the carousel going and throw Larson in there for a year. I mean, I'd rather have him where he's at right now, but it could be the 10.
Yeah.
It could be the 14. Boyer's out there in age. It could be the 4, because we don't know how long. There was rumors about Harvick leaving this year. So
there were, yeah.
I guess he could make a case for it next year, but we'll see. We'll see. But I could see Hendrick, but I'm sort of leaning towards Stewart. I think that Kyle Larson and Stewart are more one and the same, and he might want to be tight there. But it would be awesome to see mm-hmm. you know, Kyle Larson running a 48 with a different sponsorship or something, just keeping that number going.
Yeah. And then I only have to change one number in all my gear.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you could just make the loop from the end of the 2 at the top and then just make like a little forward slash.
Yep.
Forward slash?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can make it work.
Which one of the big 3 is not going to make the championship 4 next year?
I think they all do, honestly. Do I have to pick? I do have to pick.
Biggest odds.
I don't think Harvick does it. Kyle Busch had a great year. Truex had a great year. Harvick struggled. I feel like he might continue to struggle. I mean, granted, he did show up later this season.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he pulls it off next year.
I'm with you on that. Same reasoning, same everything. Harvick, if I had to pick one, but I feel like next year could also be a major bounce back for Kevin Harvick. So I guess my next question that leads to that, which team is most likely to challenge Gibbs at the top of the pedestal as somebody who's at least going to try to take a share of the, I don't know what, winning half the races in 2019?
Mm-hmm, is there, much.
If you had to pick a team that could challenge Gibbs, who would it be at this point?
At this point, I'm going and put my money on Hendrick Motorsports. Chase Elliott, phenomenal. Alex Bowman showed up this year, and William Byron was on his heels, on Bowman's heels. So, I mean, with three out of four great drivers, who knows what we'll get out of Jimmy Johnson next year? I feel like they're going to be the ones to mess with next year, or they're going to be the ones to beat.
It's a great call. And I feel like Chevy's got to, they're going to come back at some point with this, because Toyota's killing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford, too. You remember at the beginning of the year when it was Penske and Joe Gibbs trading?
Yeah.
Penske went away.
Yeah, they did.
Logano almost made the Final Four. Blaney almost made the Final Four, but it wasn't dominance. Kozlowski didn't win a race there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Logano either. Blaney had the one that was amazing, but I feel like Penske's going to have a nice rebound next year, and they've got the beginning of the season where they can really work some of that stuff out. So if I had to pick one, it'd probably be those guys. My last question here for you, Thomas, before we wrap things up. Kind of the running theme throughout the course of this year.
Which one?
Was the Aeroduct tapered spacer package a success in 2019? Did it make for better racing?
Made for great restarts. I'll say that right away. For racing, though, the best racing we saw was as soon as it went green for the first, what, 5-10 laps, and then they were single file again. And that was for a majority of the tracks we were at. So if I had to give it a grade, you know, on a scale, I'd give it a solid B. It wasn't great. It wasn't awful. I'd put it on the decent side. There's definitely room for improvement, though, going into 2021.
I like the three wide restarts like you. I like the four wide once in a while. Some tracks, Phoenix looked cool. But then once it got single file, there were so many less green flag passes at mm-hmm. so many tracks this year that it was ridiculous to me. Because somebody would get ahead and then somebody else would try to get a run, but they couldn't do it unless if they side drafted. It's like the only way that they were able to get by is by really just getting into that little tire area on the rear side of the car in front of them and getting some of that air off. It's like an aerodynamic game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just have horsepower in the damn car.
Yep. I agree with you. Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that. We'll see how it goes once again, because you could also make the argument that, okay, small sample size, we'll make a little bit of tweaks and then we'll go into this next season. We'll see where it goes. But 2021 is going to be the huge year.
It's going to be the year.
You confident in 2020 being a good year for racing so far? How excited are you for it to come back?
I'm ready for it to come back because I don't know what to do with my life for the next couple months. I'm honestly expecting a repeat of 2019. Let's just put it that way. We're going to have the same package. Not much is changing. I feel like we're just going to have a repeat.
The difference in schedule is going to be cool with Pocono and all mm-hmm. that. I'm looking forward to seeing a different order for the way that they're going to be running. That back-to-back at Pocono is something I'm really looking forward to next year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and Homestead is now in March. Daytona is now the cutoff for the playoffs.
It's in March.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes on the schedule side.
Hey, guys, so we're back already.
That's something I'm looking forward to. Miss us?
So when we started this thing about, what, 8 months ago? 9 months ago?
Nine, 10, something like
nine
that.
9 months ago. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So when we started this thing, I brought this up to our program director, Xander, and I said, you know, I kind of want to do this racing thing because no one's really talking about it. But every time we do a bus trip, an excursion over on 104.9 The X, sucker sells out.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in this area that like racing. They're not as vocal, I don't think, but they're there. We've seen them there. Rockford Speedway and at different tracks. I mean, hell, the World of Outlaws was sold out, you know, before I got there. And a couple of really great tracks and a lot of racing fans in this area. So we appreciate them. We're also trying to reach them. And the goal was to bring something from a local spin, a local perspective, talk about some of the local tracks and what's going on. Not necessarily who's doing well in standings, because we could fill up an entire hour with the amount of different standings that there are. Different types of races that there are too. But I wanted to have somebody in here who knew their stuff, who was just as much of a fan as I was. And I found that guy. sitting right across from me, who is the biggest racing fan out of anybody I know. So it's been an absolute pleasure working for you over the last, or like working with you over the last 9 months. Really appreciate this.
It has been. I really appreciate you, you know, asking me to do this. It's been a lot of fun.
And you were doing morning hits on the morning show, Randy and Company, for a while. And, you know, I was listening to that and you taught Randy a lot. And so it was
someone
cool.
Who knew nothing about racing.
But they would bring you in. And then I was just like, dude, this guy really gets it. So like we got to know each other a lot over the last 9 months. And it's awesome, man. So I look forward to doing this thing again with you next year. And if you plan on, you know, graduating college early and you're going to run off and go somewhere else or whatever, I'm going to at least make you stay until Homestead next year. All right.
Okay. All right.
I guess that would be the race until stay for the championship race as well. All right.
Second Phoenix.
All right, man. Well, it's been a great year and we look forward to doing it again. We are the Racing Rundown Show and we're going to call it a wrap. Unless if something huge happens, like, I don't know what it would be, but if there's something huge that happens, maybe we check in on you and do a podcast here and there over the next 4 months or so. But until then, we'll talk to you right before Daytona.
We thank you for tuning into the Racing Rundown this season. He's Jackson, I'm Thomas. Enjoy the rest of this decade, and we'll be back in 2020.